Welcome back to this special Memorial Day broadcast, the Minnesota Military Radio, which is brought to you by in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Federal Ammunition, and XL Energy. Find more information at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Doug, this is hour three. They're going quick, 6 to 9 a.m. this morning. In this hour, we're going to have a special guest I'll introduce in a second, and then we're going to talk to Lieutenant General John Jensen from Washington, D.C., Senator Amy Klobuchar, and Governor Tim Walz. Going to be a busy hour, going to go quick.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I know that, we always love having, different leaders on this program to talk about things that are going on, around the state, of course. And, having the Adjutant General in here with us is a special treat for this last hour. And, sir, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. It's great to see you in the studio with us.
Well, I tell you what, Command Sergeant Major and Tom, it's great to be here again. And, once again, pay tribute to our veterans and everyone as we remember Memorial Day and the sacred meaning of it.
Absolutely. And I know that, Normandy, we've been talking about the fact that I was able to go over with Minnesota Military Radio, had some great sponsors step up so that we could go and do that trip. And three shows, sir, are going to air starting next weekend for three consecutive weeks. And then we've got a bonus show. And for me, when I went there, of course, we did extra diligence, right? We want to learn more about it. We had a couple of great co-hosts. Someone from the Minnesota Military Veteran Museum was there with us, Doug Thompson, and then a D-Day expert and author from the Normandy area. His name is Dominic Francois, and they took us on a journey, sir, from Pegasus Bridge through Operation Overlord, all that planning that went into it. We went to Utah Beach, Point de Hoc, Omaha. We spent time at Braycourt Manor. Of course, the Normandy American Cemetery. And then the bonus show, little teaser here, we spent time in some places that aren't generally talked about too much. We spent time at Gren in St. Mary Glace. What an unbelievable trip to be in the Normandy area. And, sir, to see that the people over there still love and respect the Allied forces and what they did for their country.
And General, you've been to Normandy.
Yeah, and fortunately, when I was in the active Army as a lieutenant 30 years ago, so I've been around a while, but I got the experience of 50th anniversary of the Normandy landing, and some of the same places you talk about, Command Sergeant Major, Point de Hoc, St. Mary Glace, Normandy Beach, Utah Beach. Omaha Beach, Utah Beach. Just the history. And, at the time I was there was a lot more veterans that were still there and able to visit with them. And I actually talked to a gentleman who had came in on a glider to secure Pegasus Bridge when we were at Pegasus Bridge. So just a clearly unique opportunity and one of the great things that I got to do in my military career.
In general, for our audience that might not be familiar or may have not served, you are the commanding general of the Minnesota National Guard, including the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard. And on a day like Memorial Day, I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts from a long career. And of course, Doug got to experience Normandy. What better way to start about talking and remembering about those who have given their lives in service to their country than D-Day 80 years ago?
Yeah, absolutely. Great Americans, and it's been said the greatest generation are World War II veterans, and certainly many of them gave the ultimate sacrifice in fighting through the rough seas coming across that channel. Just truly inspiring, and I think part of the reason why some of us still serve.
In general, I think the good news is that was the greatest generation. I agree with that, but every year you're signing up about 10% of your force, new recruits coming in. Minnesota National Guard has been really good at making your recruiting goals. There's still a lot of young people that are patriotic and want to serve.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tom, I'm glad you bring that up, because we are doing well in recruiting in the Minnesota National Guard. The Army is doing very well. I think we're number two or number three in the nation for the number of raw recruits. And, we had some struggles when we went through the pandemic, but I think we're coming out of that. And I think we're going to see our force, our end strength actually start to grow a little bit more this year. And I'm optimistic. We'll see. Our recruiting year goes from 1 October to 30 September, but I think we're making progress in the inroads and getting people interested in serving, and because of a lot of things, and I tell people, it's kind of like being on a team. You know, the camaraderie that we share with our soldiers and airmen. It's you get to see them every month, and it's something different. And it's a great way to give back to not only, you know, in the National Guard, we serve in our community, we serve at the state level, but we also serve in our primary role as a combat reserve of the United States Air Force and Army at the national level for our federal mission.
In general, today is a day to remember those who have served, but I think it's also a day to remember those who are serving. And since you're the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, you've always got people deployed. Right now, we've got over 500 Red Bull people deployed in the Middle East. And one way we remember is outfits like Chuck Haas over at the up at Hugo and sending off gift packages and things that they need. And they're constantly reminded that back here in Minnesota, we're thinking of them.
Absolutely. You know, and Chuck Haas is in the Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is just one organization. We have many organizations that contribute to the you know, show their support for our soldiers and airmen. And it's truly humbling, the relationships that we have in Minnesota from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks, many of them, to the Serving Our Troops organization, who's planning to go over and serve stakes in Kuwait in October. And many other organizations that just continue to give. I mean, this just a week ago, we proclaimed Fairview Health as another Beyond the Yellow Ribbon organization. And, you know, there's great employers that support our soldiers and airmen and allow them to do things. And they actually, we took a physician who works for Fairview, but we have them over at the MEP station helping the medical in processing because they need a little bit of help. And it's making a dramatic difference, not only for Minnesota National Guard soldiers and airmen, but people willing to serve in the military across all components, all services.
So, sir, yesterday I was in communication with the 34th Infantry Division's Command Sergeant Major, just checking up on them, see how things are going. Anything you can report for our Red Bulls and how they're doing on their current deployment?
Yeah, we had a check-in earlier this week, Major General Kemper briefed the governor and myself on what's going on over there. I think the takeaway is they're probably busier now than they thought they were going to be before they left because of everything that's been going on in the CENTCOM Air of Operations. But once again, our soldiers are continuing to do what Minnesotans do, roll up their sleeves, get after it, and they're extremely busy. But I know they're having a positive effect and doing what they're asked to do with outstanding results.
And yeah, General, absolutely. Go ahead, Tom.
Here in Minnesota, we've got other organizations like the Minnesota Military Family Foundation that take care of the families while they're gone so that they can pay attention to the mission and get home safe. Pretty important.
Absolutely. You know, and we got Bill Pop and his wife Terry that started that foundation and many other organizations that contribute to that organization. And they provide financial assistance to families if they're in a crisis that need it. It goes through our family assistance centers. And then there's a board that reviews the packet. And we're blessed to have that organization, others like it, that support our soldiers, airmen, and really, really all soldiers, airmen, veterans in the state of Minnesota if there's a valid need through the MMFF. And just a great organization. You know, they were they had a fundraising event last week out at Topgolf, and I'm sure there was a lot of people there having a good time and hopefully generating money for a good cause.
They did a good job. That's a first-time event, and of course we'll have the big event in August, and yeah, Hopefully that you'll be able to get to that. General, we've just got a couple of minutes left. Memorial Day, it's full of events. A lot of people attend. It's good to remember. Have you ever taken part in a Memorial Day event that left a profound impact on you?
You know, I think more so than specifically on Memorial Day. Unfortunately, you know, those of us that serve, we lose service members. And so I've been involved with memorial events for those service members. You know, immediately comes to mind the loss of the three air crew members out of St. Cloud here a few years ago. And then previously to that, the biggest one is probably April 14th, 1994, 26 coalition service members lost their lives when two UH-60s were shot down over northern Iraq. That was a unit that I was in, and that was probably my first experience to losing another service member next to me that I knew. And you never get used to it, you never get over it, but you always remember. So that, and then, you know, we'll always remember Plattenberg, Nord, and Rogers, you know, for the three service members that lost their lives up in St. Cloud.
General, it doesn't get easier when I see the Vietnam Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. I have to wear dark glasses and my cap and and stand there and remember. But it's good to remember.
It is. And, you know, it lets us know why we serve, and it keeps us, you know, freedom isn't free.
Yes, well, sir. General, it's about that time. We're going to get ready for our next guest, so we'll take a quick break here. This is a special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio. It's brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Federal Ammunition, and XL Energy. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com for more information. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Federal Ammunition, and XL Energy. Find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, along with Doug Wortham. We're the hosts of Minnesota Military Radio, which can be heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Our special guest in the studio today is Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. And gentlemen, we've got a special guest calling in today, formerly the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, now serving as the 22nd Director of the Army National Guard for the United States, Lieutenant General John Jensen. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be with you and with CSM Wortham and Major General Mankey. It's all three of you I consider very good friends, and it's great to join you this morning.
Sir, you've been joining the show with us for years. I think I had standing orders to keep a spot for you.
Yeah, you know, I was reflecting on that this morning, Tom, and the one that really came to mind was Memorial Day of 2020 during COVID, where we went to the secret location to do the show together. I think we might have broken a couple state laws at that time, but your commitment and dedication to this holiday and to this show is not forgotten.
Well, sir, 14 years of Minnesota Military Radio, soon to be turned over to the new primary host, your former Command Sergeant Major, but I'll give him something he's not had that I've not had, and that is a backup host, me, so somebody that can give him some relief occasionally, and we hope to continue for a long time and tell the stories. And there's no more important story than talking about those that we've lost on Memorial Day.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, you know, to really live up to the motto, never forget, we have to do things like this to ensure that we don't forget. And so it's very important. And I know this holiday has a tremendous amount of emotion and recognition back in Minnesota. You know, I'm here in D.C. Obviously, there's a lot going on this weekend as well. But Minnesota does it right. You know, whether you're at Fort Snelling or you're at one of the state cemeteries today or just at home reflecting on your service member and the stories of your service member, I know it means a lot back home in Minnesota.
General, this is Doug. And, you know, one, it's great to have you back on the Memorial Day program here. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Minnesota's great get-together, the state fair. I've already roped you in for that one as well. But today, you know, we're talking about Memorial Day, and I really want to talk about your role as the director of the National Guard and maybe some of that evolution of the National Guard, its role on the national stage. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, thanks, Doug, for that opportunity. You know, I left Thursday night, went to Indianapolis, and actually celebrated Memorial Day with the Indiana National Guard at their wonderful Indiana War Memorial. If you would think, if you took the St. Paul Cathedral and the Armory in Minneapolis and combine them together, I mean, that's what kind of facility this building is. And so, on Friday, we met with the Indiana Gold Star families and had a very solemn ceremony with them, and then went out and did the state event on the steps of that war memorial. Then Saturday, I got to go and participate in the Indianapolis 500 Festival parade. And then yesterday, we were at the Indianapolis 500 as they do a great job of recognizing all of us, all of the service members. I was there with the Thunderbirds and representatives from every service across the Department of Defense. And it was, and so, you know, I've had that opportunity multiple times as the directors to go out and represent and support, mostly support, our National Guard across the country during important events like Memorial Day. So it's as special as everything is in Minnesota, and as much as I cherish that time, it's also equally special to go out and help our adjutant generals recognize the great service members across our country.
General Jensen, this is Tom. I'm wondering, here in Minnesota, we're doing pretty good on recruiting. But on Memorial Day, when I was out at Fort Snelling yesterday and standing among thousands and thousands of headstones, my son and I were talking about, we hope that plenty of the young people will be signing up to join the military, to join the National Guard. How are we doing around the country? Is the next generation stepping up and filling the shoes of those who came before them?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we had some challenges back in 2022, as all the services did. But just speaking for the Army National Guard, you know, we're ahead of our recruiting mission for this year. At the end of this month, we expect to be about 104-105% of our yearly mission. So, you know, what I like to say is we're not where we want to be, but we're trending in the right direction. And I'm just remembered, you know, earlier this fall, I was at the University of Mississippi, and I met with ROTC candidates or cadets from the University of Mississippi. I had the opportunity to have lunch with them, and I sat around them, and they were spectacular. They are so much smarter than we were, you know, 40-some years ago when I enlisted. Smarter, better looking, funnier. Great work ethic. We're going to be in good hands, Tom. I am not concerned about the future.
So we're going to get a few new combat medics, sir?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you can never have too many chaplains or medics in my experience.
And for our listeners, General Jensen started as an enlisted soldier and a combat medic. Now he's a 3-star general, so great things can happen, sir.
Hey, sir, this is Sean. Hey, thanks again for joining us today. And it sounds like you had a great event out in Indiana. What a privilege to be part of that and take part of the recognition of our service members. Hey, as a director, you know, I know you're coming up on 4 years in that role. And what are some things you think that you could share that, you know, maybe change your perspective a little bit about service members or their families as you wind up your tour out there?
Well, I think there's a couple things, Sean. The first one, and I said this when I came in as the director, is, you know, coming from Minnesota, I was very steeped in the heritage, lineage, history of the Minnesota National Guard and you know, Iowa as well from my previous time there. But as the director, I got to really share in the heritage, lineage, and history of the entire Army National Guard across our 50 states, 3 territories, and the District of Columbia. And I've really tried to do that. I mean, I've marched in the St. Patrick's Day Parade with the Fighting 69th from New York City. I've been able to go to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and participate in Cheyenne Days and the great radio or rodeo out there, and on and on and on. And just the ability to learn and celebrate and be a part of that history that started in 1636. You know, we're going to next year in April, we're going to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the shot heard around the world in Lexington and Concord. But we're reminded that the National Guard's history goes back to 1636. So just being able to celebrate that nationally with all of our National Guard soldiers is, you know, has been tremendous. But also, you know, because I get to see all 54 now, just again, the recognition of the excellence that resides inside of Minnesota. As you know, because you've heard me say this 1,000 times, you know, you and I didn't create that excellence. We inherited it. Our responsibility is in the organization is make sure that we improve on that and we pass it on to the next group of leaders.
Absolutely. Thanks, sir.
Sir, you know, as we talk about Memorial Day and we talk about paying respect to fallen soldiers here on this day that we recognize them, a lot of events going on around the country. What do you think communities should be doing to help continue to support the families of our fallen?
Yeah, and I think it's exactly that, Doug. And we've got a lot of examples in Minnesota where we continue to support. You know, we're still deploying over 30,000 Army Guard soldiers across the globe, whether it's in state missions in the southwest part of the country. You know, you earlier talked about the Red Bulls who are over in Southwest Asia doing that mission, and on and on and on. You know, we have to just continue to realize and recognize that service members are being deployed across the globe and being put in harm's way every single day. And we can't forget about that sacrifice and the sacrifice that our families make to allow our great reserve component service members to go and support our armed forces and our national security strategy. So what, you know, what I would tell people to do is, you know, never forget that includes our families and their sacrifices as well.
Yeah, without a doubt, never forget. General Mankey was saying before that, you know, that service member will die a second time when we stop talking about them, and we certainly don't want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I know Sean mentioned Court Plattenberg and James Rogers and Charles Nord, our aviators who we lost back in December 2019 when I was the adjunct general. And I know you, Doug, you were in Iraq with me when James Wardish and Carlos Wilcox and Daniel Drevnik were lost in direct fire in July of 2009. And so just being able to say those six names again today is very important.
Yeah, absolutely, sir. Thank you so much for, you know, spending a little bit of time with us on another Memorial Day broadcast here on Minnesota Military Radio. We really, really appreciate having you here.
No, thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate your continued leadership and your continued commitment to this radio show and to all of our veterans, our service members, and our families back in Minnesota. Thanks for the great job. Keep it up, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
That's the director of the Army National Guard, Lieutenant General John Jensen. Tom, wow, another great episode here, right?
Boy, the time's going fast.
Sure is.
We got to keep moving because our next guest will be Senator Amy Klobuchar, followed by Governor Tim Walz. So we need to keep moving.
Yes, this is a special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Federal Ammunition, and Xcel Energy. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Federal Ammunition, and XL Energy. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, along with Doug Wortham from Minnesota Military Radio, and we're doing this special show today. Third hour, our special guest in the studio is Commanding General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey. And, General, we've got a special guest coming up. The rest of this hour, we're going to talk to some of our civilian bosses.
Right, absolutely. You know, that relationship that we have. We have a great relationship in Minnesota with all of our elected officials, fortunately for us. And, you know, and then the governor is a commander chief. I got him last. So fortunate to have that relationship. And they do so much for our service members, not only for the National Guard, but for all of our service members across all components and their families, of course, which is very good.
And today, of course, is a busy day for our elected officials. I'm sure Tom Emmer was off to speak a few places wherever they'd let him in.
Absolutely. And, you know, I know, you know, the state has a program going on at Fort Snelling today. I think that's at 10 o'clock. So I know everyone is busy today, this weekend, and remembering what Memorial Day is truly about. And that's never forgetting our service members that have paid the ultimate sacrifice or are no longer with us.
And, Doug, we were fortunate this morning. We had Chaplain Wynn on the first hour, and we had Director Kelly on with us for a little bit second hour. I'm sure they're on their way to Fort Snelling right now.
Yeah, I would imagine. And we're just hoping that that special parking space was saved for Chaplain Buddy Wynn, because we know that he's got a, you know, an important role out there in controlling the weather.
And he's got to give the blessing.
Absolutely.
What's more important than a Memorial Day blessing at Fort Snelling?
Right. Absolutely.
Gentlemen, we have a special guest with us right now is Senator Amy Klobuchar. Senator, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio on Memorial Day.
Well, it's wonderful to be with you on this great day. And I just want to get the rain out of the way, if there is any, so we can have a beautiful ceremony today in Fort Snelling and also really all over the state. I was in Little Falls for a beautiful event yesterday, and one of the soldiers, actually, who spoke, talked about the fact, and this has stuck with me, he talked about that Memorial Day is a day you mourn, but it's also a day that you decide, are we worthy of their lives? And I thought it was such a wonderful way of addressing this idea that, yes, we have these fallen heroes, but what do we do after that? What do we do? Do we carry on the work that they did for our country, for liberty and freedom, and bringing people together so we are a nation that's united? Or do we basically not live in their honor? And so it just made me think about a lot about when we're in this divided time, how we have to find ways to do what's best for our country and come together.
Senator, we're in the studio today. It's myself, Doug Wortham, from Minnesota Military yep. Radio, and the Adjutant General, Major General Mankey, and we've all got questions for you.
Okay, well, I'm ready to go.
Well, I want to start out by talking about the PACT Act, which was actually passed about a year and a half ago, and it's my understanding there's about a million new veterans that have become eligible for care since that passed.
Yeah, we just passed the million claim mark, and it just shows the need that was out there for those that were stationed next to those notorious burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. But actually, we went back to Agent Orange Day, Vietnam, and other exposures, even in our own nation. And so we made it easier for people, for our veterans to apply to get benefits. And it has been a long time in coming. I got involved, and I've talked to all of you about Brian Mueller before, who in the name of his wife, who sadly died at age 36 of pancreatic cancer, Amy Mueller, leaving three little children behind. He decided to take this on in Minnesota, along with many of our medical personnel who'd served in Iraq and Afghanistan. And after years of work, he came to me as a new senator and thought, okay, we're going to see if she can do this. And I worked with so many of our Democratic and Republican senators to get this done. And so we're really pleased that we are taking care of those that have been exposed to toxic substances.
So, Senator, a message for our listeners today is things have changed, eligibility have changed. Even if you've filed a claim before, you should check with your county veteran service officer. You may be eligible for some care at the VA now that you haven't been in the past. Doug, you've got a question for the Senator?
Yeah, absolutely.
And people should, by the way, call our office in. Can find us easily on the web if you have any questions about if you qualify, or of course call your veterans service officer.
Well, we appreciate the efforts that you put in, especially there with the PACT Act. And we know there's a lot of things that you are involved in. And one of the things recently that you were involved with or had a role in was getting a Purple Heart for St. Peter veteran Earl Meyer. I just wonder if you might be able to talk to us a little bit about how that came about.
He's quite a character, anyone that knows him, 97 years old, and he actually served during World War II. He was 17. He was too young to be accepted, but he could go to the Merchant Marines, and he tried to sign up there, and they said, you're too skinny. And he went home and gained 25 pounds in a few months, signed up again, and served in some dangerous situations on the seas, and then came back, was a farmer, and then called up again to serve in Korea, where his unit suffered very, very tragic consequences on the front line. Only four guys from his company survived. And when the medic was bandaging him up after he was hit by shrapnel, the medic said, you're going to get a Purple Heart for this, for what you did. And the medic most likely died. There were no records. And years and years later, his three daughters decided, well, he's in his 90s now, and there was lost records. And I know that the commander knows what this is like, trying to help some of our veterans. It's not always easy. This was so long ago. But 70-some years later, Earl got his Purple Heart in St. Peter at the Gustavus Chapel. And as we stood up there after having been given the Purple Heart by one of the National Guard members, who himself got adopted after that war and is now serving in the military, Earl turned to me and said, well, looking out at the 1,000 people, well, I didn't think this was going to be such a big deal.
Thank you for your work on that, Senator. We just got a few minutes left, but General Mankey's got a question for you about upgrading our equipment.
Hey, Senator, good morning. Hey, modernization is one of our priorities. Priorities in the Minnesota National Guard, and I know you and our entire CODEL team were instrumental in some modernization that we have going on at the 133rd, which we were able to announce last fall. But could you maybe highlight what's coming to Minnesota for our 133rd Airlift Wing for the rest of our listeners out there today?
Of course. This was a big deal. As you know, you worked on it so hard. We were in a kind of a contest over who could make the best case for getting these C-130Js so that we were updated. And we needed first to make sure that there was enough requirements in law to get them. And then second, we're up against a number of states, and we were able to get these C-130Js, which is a big deal. And that is a tribute to our airmen and women and the mechanics and everyone that works on it. And we did it, our whole delegation, bipartisan, which wasn't the same in some of the other states. And we really pleased we got that. And then we're also securing funds to build a new access control facility. As you know, General, at Camp Ripley, just was up there in Little Falls yesterday. And this is going to be really important to keep investing in Camp Ripley because it's such an important training facility.
Absolutely. You know, and we appreciate your leadership as a senior senator from Minnesota helping us. But I think to your point, you know, we have outstanding airmen and soldiers, and they continue to do great work, not only at the state, but in defense of our nation at the national level for the federal mission. And we appreciate your leadership and your support making sure that we're successful.
Exactly. I think one of the things we've seen coming out of Ukraine is just the importance of having a strong Air Force and making sure that we're ready for all uses. And as you know, General, these aircraft are helpful as well in Minnesota for things that happen. We need a strong National Guard, both at the air level and the Army National Guard, for when disasters occur, whether they're tornadoes or floods. And that's why the National Guard is this incredible combination of duty to country through protecting our nation in the world, but also protecting our citizens here at home.
So absolutely.
Senator, this time we just got about 30 seconds left. It's Memorial Day, so I know you've got a busy schedule. Are you, a lot of stops today?
Yeah, I'm going to be at Fort Snelling and then out in Chanhassen. I'm going to be at our veterans' home and then somehow ending up in Rochester. So it's going to be a lot of really incredible moments just getting to talk to veterans and their families. And as you know, my dad's buried at Fort Snelling, and I'll be able to go and pay my respects to my dad, who I miss very much.
Senator, thanks for spending some time with us. Safe travels today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
This special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio is brought to you in part by Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Federal Ammunition, and Xcel Energy. Get more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the special Memorial Day broadcast of Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Federal Ammunition, and Xcel Energy. You can find more information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. This special edition of Minnesota Military Radio is here for the 13th year on Memorial Day. You can listen to us every week, every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. And also, you can hear the podcast online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm in here with Doug Wortham, who is my partner on the radio broadcast for the last 14 years. And, of course, we've got one of our bosses here, the commanding general of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey. And, General, we've had about 735 shows in the last 14 years. It's been a busy time, but telling great stories.
Yeah, Tom, and I can't thank you and iHeartRadio for donating the studio time for us to make this possible. I mean, it's a tremendous service to allow us to get our stories out there for the public to hear, and appreciate your commitment and your dedication to all of this. I know you've been doing this a long time, and I'm extremely grateful for everything that you do to promote the not only the Minnesota National Guard, but all services across all components and the veterans that live in the great state of Minnesota. So thanks.
Thank you, sir. I'll still be here in the background and relieving Doug in the future, but he's going to be the primary host, and we'll just keep this going as long as we can. Gentlemen, we have a special guest here. The 41st governor of the state of Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz, first elected governor in 2018. Governor, welcome to our Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio.
Morning, Tom. Morning, Sergeant Major Wortham. Good to hear both of you today.
Good morning, sir.
Governor, I'm sure Memorial Day is just another day for you, but it's a really, really busy day and a day of remembrance. How are you recognizing this day? You're a veteran yourself. I know you've got a lot of thoughts about Memorial Day and all of those troops that have honorably served their country.
Yeah, Memorial Day is the special one, whether it was, you know, when I was in Congress or before. I remember going with my parents, to small gatherings. A lot of folks, it's a day of grilling out, which is a real blessing that they get, which comes with freedom. But I think all the folks listening today, and certainly you guys, know that it means staying vigilant. So I'll be on my way out to Fort Snelling here, which, you know, if you're listeners, I'm sure many have been out there. But if you haven't been on a Memorial Day, it is one of the most moving settings. And it's a simple program, as they should be, but so dignified. So I'll be out there and spending some time. And it's, you know, I leave every time someone tells a story. One of these veterans or the families tells a story that'll just stay with you forever.
Governor Doug Wortham here. Obviously, Memorial Day, we honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. I'm just wondering if you might be able to talk a little bit about what the state of Minnesota is doing to support military families who've lost a loved one.
Yeah, well, Sergeant Major, thanks for asking. You, as you know, the most honored place in our society is Gold Star families, and Gold Star families, the designation of someone who lost a loved one in service to the country. What we do is we make sure, first and foremost, the dignity that we care for those folks, that the state of Minnesota is there with our Gold Star family services, their support, benefits, resources, just a place to make things easier. It's never easy, and these are hard, and as all of you know, when someone's gone, it doesn't get better. It just gets different. And I think the state being there with the resources, and these are, you know, folks that understand how to do this work. So I'm glad you brought it up. I think in a day like today is to pause and think about that. And, you know, the stories of families getting that dreaded message and their lives forever changed, and all of us need to pick up some of the weight that they carry. So that's what this this program does.
Yeah, no, I hear you. We appreciate the support that the state does, put in place for our families who've lost that loved one. And, legislative season wrapped up, and I'm just wondering what kind of wins we had for our veteran community this season.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, and this is where I thank the Commander's Task Force and many of the folks listening today, we've decided that our veterans will never be put in the position again of being pawns. The legislative session ended up like they normally do, messy, not the way you'd certainly like. But I think your listeners need to know is what got done way before that was the veterans and military omnibus, where we simply have decided over the last few years we're not doing it. We're not putting and pitting our veterans against students. We're not pitting them against environmental issues. We're simply doing it. And that omnibus went unanimously well before this happened. And what came out of that was full funding for our new veterans homes, the work to build the fifth veterans cemetery up in the Northwest region, fully funding the department so they can continue their work on homelessness and veteran suicide, bonuses for our soldiers who are still serving, especially those Red Bull. We know we've got quite a few deployed to the Middle East at a time of great tension that they're serving as we speak. And so I think the success of that is that veterans groups and the people of Minnesota and the legislators decided that we can make this work. And this is now several years in a row that we said we're pulling out veterans and we're doing them separately and we're getting it done. And that happened.
Governor's live radio, so we just got a couple of minutes left, but General Mankey has a question for you.
Hey, sir, you talked about the conversation we had the Red Bulls over there, and I know you and I had the opportunity to talk to Major General Kemper earlier this week and the good things going on over there, but could you just kind of highlight maybe what we're doing, for our families and whatnot? There's some things that you've been instrumental in as far as child care and whatnot in the state of Minnesota, and maybe just highlight that, because, we recruit a soldier, but we retain the family.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And these are young folks. They have families at home, spouses working, kids in school, daycare, whatever it might be. We've got child care in the neighborhood now, an incredible program we're trying to get stood up with the help from our federal partners, reimbursing folks. This is for our full-time guard folks, too, that they can take advantage of that. I think we saw, again, we were at Fairview Hospital earlier this week for another Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company stepping up. We're seeing that Minnesotans continue to step up, as you've heard me say this a lot of times, originated here in Minnesota, originated by one of my predecessors, Governor Pawlenty, still going strong. And then I think just making sure those family services at the Armory are there. So helping with child care, helping with some of the bills, helping make sure the employers and the state of Minnesota is committed, and of course, over at the Department of Veterans Affairs and what you do, General Mankey, is tops, and the Master Chief, make sure that we're getting everything done for these enlisted folks, that their families back home are taken care of. So really proud of that. I want them to not worry as they're deployed. I want them to be able to focus on their mission, and I want them to know their families are cared for back here.
Governor, thanks for joining us today for our special Memorial Day show. Hope you have make all your appointments and it's dry at Fort Snelling.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, for your service.
Thank you, sir. General Mankey, I don't know where the hour went, but they go quick, and appreciate you stopping in again today to join us on Memorial Day.
My pleasure, Tom. Thanks so much for everything you and Doug do to make this program so successful.
And Doug, the 3 hours went quick, and we're just about over. I'd like to remind our listeners, 3 o'clock today, please take 2 minutes and remember those who have given their lives so that we can be here. And as we usually do every year on Memorial Day, as we leave you today, we're going to leave you with a special edition of Taps that was recorded in this studio a few years ago, and hope you remember your loved ones today. Thanks for joining us.